The first reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, do not be frightened. But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah when the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the word of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, beginning reading at the 14th chapter and the 15th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Now it gives me great pleasure to hand over to Eddie Lyle for our talk.
Good morning, Will. Good morning, everyone at Buckingham Parish Church. Thank you for permitting me to join you in your homes this morning on this wonderful Sunday. As daylight broke this morning, I remembered that thought that this is a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made and that we should rejoice and be glad in it. So this morning, if you're still in your PJs or you're still munching breakfast, or you're dressed in your Sunday best, sitting nicely in front of your computer, it's lovely to be with you. This morning, across the face of the earth, members of the Church of Jesus Christ will be meeting in all kinds of ways. Some who experience freedom like us will be, I guess, because of COVID-19, experiencing virtual church. Others in different time zones we'll be experiencing a whole series of different challenges. I suppose COVID-19 is a unifying agent, even in all of its horror. But in some situations, in the persecuted church particularly, little families will be meeting in ones and twos. They'll be opening God's word, just as we're about to do so together. They'll be sharing in the sacraments, and they'll be praying for us. That's one of the remarkable things I've come to know, that when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. And this COVID-19 thing brings us together, and it certainly helps us to pray for one another through the unique insights of self-isolation and the unique features of what this terrible thing is doing to us. But as I look back now over 20 years of ministering alongside the persecuted church, I'm often asked one very common question. Please tell us what being a persecuted Christian is like. How can we pray for persecuted Christians? But there is a remarkable feature that I want to share with you this morning. Not once over all of these years, when I've been talking to believers about what they need prayer for, have I ever been asked to bring a prayer together that persecution would be taken away. Not once. But what I have been asked to pray for is that in the storms that the persecuted church experienced 24/7, that they would be able to stand strong, that they wouldn't lose heart, that they would draw from the strength of God and his word and by the power of the Holy Spirit to reflect the beauty of Jesus, to be his aroma, to be able to turn the other cheek, to be able to be resilient and to be able to press forward knowing that God is with them. I think in this unique season that you and I live in, I think we would really want to be delivered from the COVID virus. That's probably going to take some time, but how do we conduct ourselves in the midst of all of this? Today, Will has invited me to bring some thoughts to you from 1 Peter 4. You've already heard that reading, but I want to bring to you this portion of scripture through a different translation, the Passion Translation, which is informing a lot of my writing and preaching and teaching at the moment. Let me read this beautiful, inspiring piece of scripture back to you again. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved friends, if life gets extremely difficult with many tests, don't be bewildered as though something strange were overwhelming you. Instead, continue to rejoice, for you, in a measure, have shared in the suffering of the Anointed One, so that you can share in the revelation of his glory and celebrate with even greater gladness. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are greatly blessed, because the Spirit of glory and power, who is the Spirit of God, rests upon you. Let none of you merit suffering as a murderer or a thief or a criminal or as one who meddles in the affairs of others. If you suffer for being a Christian, don't consider it a disgrace, but a privilege. Glorify God because you carry the Anointed One's name. For the time is ripe for judgment to begin in God's own household. For if it starts with us, what will it be for the fate of those who refuse to obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous are barely saved, what will become of the wicked and the godless? So then, those who suffer for following God's will should enfold their lives into the Creator, who will never fail them and continue to always do what is right. So many provocations in that scripture. A couple of years ago, I was on sabbatical and I went to Lebanon to study with a Syriac Orthodox pastor. I wanted to study prayer through the eyes of the desert mothers and fathers. I wanted to understand how they experienced prayer and some of the lessons that might be transferable. Father Abdullah was my spiritual director for those weeks. And I want to tell you a challenging story, but it's absolutely relevant to the portion of scripture that we've just read together. After several days of creating context and reading and praying together, late one evening we were in the city of Byblos, actually the seat of civilization where the alphabet was conceived. We'd been down to Byblos port, where the Apostle Paul sailed from in some of his missionary journeys. And we were walking on the Mediterranean beach late at night, just sharing life and learning together. And he looked down at me and he said, Brother Eddie, Have you ever discovered the Jesus Prayer? And I said, Father, yes, I have in my studies, but it's not part of my narrative now. And he said, may I remind you of how to pray the Jesus Prayer? It is the oldest prayer in Christendom. And he said in Arabic, Ya Abraham, Ya Abraham. I'm sorry for my inferior Arabic, but translation, of course, is the prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. And he said, Eddie, we pray it in cycles of three. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. He said, this is the most precious gift that I can give you as you prepare to go back into the West. And it's important that you understand the context of this prayer. He said, over these few days, I've got to know you very well, but you don't know me very well at all, do you? And he said, there's an experience that I had just a few months ago that makes this most ancient of prayer so important. And I want you just to listen as I tell you the story. A few months ago, he said, the patriarch asked me to go with some archaeologists into occupied territory in Syria. Al-Qaeda and ISIS are desecrating many of the ancient monasteries and chapels of the Syriac Orthodox Church. And the patriarch wanted me to recover artifacts and pieces of art and sacred manuscripts that they didn't wish to be destroyed before the barbarians arrived and desecrated those sacred sites. He said there were 12 of us, and we were in three jeeps in a convoy. And 2 hours into the war zone in Syria, as we turned a corner, there was an Al-Qaeda roadblock. And he said, all of us were taken and handcuffed. We were hooded and we were taken underground. He said, these were terrifying experiences for me, Eddie. And he said, the cassock that I'm actually wearing now was the cassock that I wore then, but we were all under a hood. I think it's not appropriate that I share with you the totality of this story, but save to say that over the next few days, members of that delegation, unfortunately, were murdered. And Father Abdullah said to me that the only way that they knew who was still alive was when they prayed together and they recognized each other's voice. He said it was indeed a dark night of the soul. We continued to walk in silence on the beach. And then I asked Abdullah a question that I've never asked another human being before, or indeed afterwards. I said to him, Father, how did you pray under the hood? And he looked at me and he said, that prayer that I shared with you a few moments ago is the prayer that I prayed. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. He said, in the Aramaic, we translate aspects of this prayer as we pray it in the third repetition. We draw from Isaiah 66, verse 13, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. He said it has got resonances in Psalm 19 about the womb. And he said the way that we pray this prayer is literally translated, Lord Jesus Christ, womb me. Surround me with your love and your protection. Surround me with your identity. Be my oxygen. Be my purpose. Be my hope. Be my life. So he said, as the blows rained down on me, as they beat me, as they demanded that I would renounce my faith in Christ, this was my umbilical, this was my prayer to my Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, womb me. Fortunately, special forces at the direction of the president of Syria were able to find Abdullah and the four archaeologists that were left. And that was the very reason that it was still possible for me to meet the man. He still limps with those injuries. But coming back to that conversation, he said, Eddie, as inevitably will be the case in the days that lie ahead. You will be faced with challenges, with darkness. There will be times when a hood literally is put over the top of your head and you're terrified. He said, this ancient prayer, I urge you to remember it and to carry it with you. And when you're exposed to fear that is beyond parallel, and when you're struggling and when you doubt, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. My dear brothers and sisters this morning, if you're anything like me, when the 6 o'clock news comes in and these dreadful, horrifying, heartbreaking statistics come, I'm now within the generation that is particularly susceptible to this virus. I have to confess to you, there are times when I feel as though a hood is being forced over the top of my head. And I pray that prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. Abdullah will never leave Syria as a pastor. He will never, ever pray the prayer, Lord, take persecution away from me. He will pray words echoed in 1 Peter 4, that in his sufferings and in the ways that he is persecuted still for being a Christian and vilified, that he would stand and glorify God, knowing that the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God will rest upon him as he is faithful. I want to give you this gift this morning, this ancient prayer, the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. I don't think there has ever been a time right across the world where Christians have so much in common as we face this common evil. But I want to, as I say, give you this gift and to inspire you to stand strong, to call upon the name of the Lord, to not despair. And even in the isolated context that you and I live in, to experience the anointing of God and to bring him into the situations that you and I will be uniquely facing. I have very few minutes to speak to you this morning. And this is my preaching Bible that I have carried with me over these last two decades. And as I close this message today, I want to bring you the other portion of scripture that I pray when I cross over borders, when things are risky, when things are difficult. I bring this ancient psalm to you this morning, the shepherd psalm, for you to remember. So maybe wherever you are, you might want just to express solidarity with me and with your persecuted brothers and sisters around the world by joining your hands together, by holding the hands of the person next to you. Just to remember them that this is the psalm that the shepherd brought to us for such a time as this. There are only 6 verses and 113 words, but they are arguably some of the most precious words that you and I can ever hold on to. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This Sunday, may you know great peace, great joy, great comfort. May God bless you, keep you safe, and may his love fill you today as you reflect on these thoughts. Thanks for joining me. Goodbye.